Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's good to hear about old people being useful. This is a great episode. It's the best episode. Everyone says that.
It's the best episode?
Oh, yeah. Everyone says
that. I'm holding that. Okay, that's not once. We haven't applied science to it yet, so you can't say that. You can't say it's the best episode because we haven't applied the science. Once we apply the science and if it proves it out, then you can may say it.
Once we applied the science, that's what they're calling it now, huh?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. This is what we do in this podcast every single week. We apply science to The Simpsons and, you know, scientifically rank the episodes at the very end of the show.
Fair enough.
Are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month, gain access to all of our bonus content, and help us keep this show going. We do have a new person to thank, Matt, but they asked for their name not to be read.
Aww.
So thank you, unnamed patron. You know who you are.
Thank you, Anonymous. The person, not the group.
It's one person. It's not that group. You can also help us out by going to iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Give us a good review, giving us 5 stars, subscribing, telling your friends, you know, all that cool stuff. On to this week's episode is Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson in The Curse of the Flying Hellfish. That's quite a title.
Indeed. I resorted to copying and pasting it because it was very annoying.
I'm going to be typing it many times in the course of the production. This is episode 3, F19, originally aired April 28th, 1996, written by Jonathan Collier, directed by Jeffrey Lynch. Finished 48th in the ratings, the Nielsen rating of 8.3, the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following The X-Files. Second, good.
It's good. It's not quite where it is these days, but you know.
Well, the ratings are 8 times as high, so actually it's much better.
Yes, but it's number 1 now.
Oh, so that's all that matters? It's rank in comparison. Yep.
If 5 people watch. If only 5 people watch TV and 4 of them watch The Simpsons, I'm okay with that.
Okay. The couch gag. Family sits on the couch and Homer pulls the plug on the living room and they all get sucked down the drain. It's all right. It's physical. Physical humor. The episode begins with us in Springfield Elementary at Bring Your Grandparents to School Day. We see Milhouse's grandpa, we see Nelson's grandpa, we see Grandpa Simpson spitting in the classroom. That's really gross. Don't do that.
Please don't do that. Spitting in public places is very disgusting.
Yeah, that's really gross. Milhouse's grandfather is just a guy with an RV. I mean, that's cool. I mean, retirement.
Sure,
I don't
elementary school kids. That's probably pretty cool. You mean you can drive your house around?
If they don't have an actual house, that's actually sad. But I suspect is that the grandpa of the grandmother we saw in Bart Sells a Soul? Are they the married couple? But then he says he has a new wife. So what happened to the old wife?
That may have been his original wife.
Did they get divorced that we saw. Or did she die?
I'm assuming divorced.
Did they get divorced at the same time that Kirk and Luann get divorced?
Well, Kirk and Luann aren't divorced yet.
I know, that's what I mean, but we don't know where this ends up in the time scale. Are you assuming that all episodes of The Simpsons happen in chronological order, Matt?
Absolutely, totally.
That's probably not a good thing to bet on. Nelson's grandpa is a judge, which is surprising.
Considering he and his mother live in abject squalor.
Yeah, they live in like
a
shack.
That's his grandfather.
Yeah, his grandpa doesn't take, maybe, I don't, who knows? Who knows? I don't want to try and read into their family situation. But, you know, they tell fun stories. The kids are enraptured. They're not Superman, though. They have to repeat a couple times. But then we get to Grandpa's time, and I included pretty much all of it because it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
You're living in a fool's paradise, Van Houten. If you fell down in the shower, that thing would be your tomb.
Grandpa, hush. Here, why don't you spit some more?
No, I'm not Superman. I'm a judge. Why, just this morning I sentenced my 46th man to death. Oh, no, 47th.
Wow, 47. I love you, Grandpa.
Yeah, well, I may not have a fancy black bathrobe and a hammer like Snooty, but I do have slippers and an oatmeal spoon. Look!
Bart, perhaps your grandfather would like to come up front now and give someone else a chance to interrupt?
Oh, please, no.
About time, Nuthead. Ah! No! Hey, listen! Now, my story begins in 1962. We had to say dickety, because the Kaiser had stolen our Weird 20. I chased that rascal to get it back, but gave up after dickety 6 miles.
Dickety? Highly dubious.
What are you cackling at, fatty? Too much pie, that's your problem. Now, I'd like to digress from my prepared remarks to discuss how I invented the turlet.
Turlet?
Stop your stickering! I spent 3 years on that turlet!
Yep, 3 years on that turlet.
I mean,
It
takes some time on the turlet.
I guess, but I can't imagine anyone sitting still for that long. I mean, he'd probably have some very ugly sores.
Matt, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Working on the turlet.
Oh, well, yeah, I imagine that probably took decades if he's actually working on it.
Oh, Matt.
What?
Nothing. Bart is obviously embarrassed by his grandpa's insanity, and he's not, like, being a productive retired person or a judge. He's just an old crazy man. The family tries to talk it over. Lisa wants to empathize with Grandpa. Homer is actually envious of the elderly and lists all the benefits they get.
Second class. What about Social Security? Bus discounts, medical or jewelry, gold bond powder, pants all the way up to your armpits, and all those other senior perks. Oh, if you ask me, old folks have it pretty sweet.
Yep, those tall pants, that's the best part about being old.
I mean, you can get some of those things without being old. Like, you can go buy gold bond powder.
You can
powder.
Get almost every single one of those things without being old. Well, maybe not Social Security.
You can't get, fraud can get you Social Security.
True.
Okay, as long as you agree with me. But we cut back to Grandpa, who is sad and alone in the retirement home. And he gets his mail, and he gets a very odd letter telling him that Asa Phelps has died. The seventh Hellfish is dead. And this immediately changes the entire plot of this episode. This is basically the first, 4 minutes of it are like, hey, it's a normal Simpsons episode. And then after that, it becomes like an action movie. It becomes Indiana Jones, basically. Yeah, I think Indiana Jones
is
the best.
Pretty much. Yeah, I would definitely think so, because it's got Burns trying to plot a murder is the first half, and then it goes on to finding the treasure, and then you have the wonderful chase at the end. So, yeah, it's Indiana Jones is a good one.
Yeah. And we go with Abe as he attends Asa Phelps' funeral.
Asa Phelps spent his entire life in Springfield, except for 4 years service in World War II and one high school day trip. He worked at the United Strut and Bracing Works as a molder's boy until he was replaced by a molder medic and died.
I love the music in the background. Aww.
Well, that's when we see the keys. This is when we see, and this is all a mystery to us. You know, this is all, we don't know any of this stuff. It's slowly doled out to us throughout the episode. Grandpa and Burns are the only people at this funeral. They both have these strange keys, and we don't know what the heck is going on. They go to this weird monument that has the flying hellfish emblem. We know what it is now. And they put their keys in, and they have, a little dramatic scene together.
Well, Simpson, seven gone. As soon as you're in your pressboard coffin, I'll be the sole survivor, and the treasure will be mine.
Over my dead body, it will!
That's exactly the point. Oh, Simpson, can't you go 5 seconds without humiliating yourself?
How long was that?
Your clownish behavior notwithstanding, we have made a gentleman's agreement and sworn on our lives to honor it. Smithers, I want that man killed.
I like this entire episode does take, its cues from the Indiana Jones-style movies, action movies, even noir movies to a certain extent. But then it also subverts them with Grandpa's pants falling off.
It's important to have that little comedy in the background.
Yeah, the musical cues. I mean, it reminds you of the Simpsons episode. I don't know. I don't think this ever veers away from being that. I think it, even despite the fact that they have a lot of adventure episodes. This is just a little even further because of the treasure and the keys and like the very kind of weird iconography and stuff that they use throughout the episode. We learn Grandpa Burns are in a tontine together and one of them has to die and Burns gets his tired of waiting.
Well, you know, he's so poor. He needs that money really badly.
Well, obviously. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see that Burns has decided he needs an assassin and also an alphabetizer because his Rolodex is ridiculously out of order. He hires one named Fernando Vidal. But when Burns calls him, there's a slight case of mistaken identity.
Hola.
Fernando, it's M.
Ah, Marion Barry, is it time for another shipment already?
This is Montgomery Burns.
Oh, caramba.
Yes, that's a rough mistake to make, and one that only people who were around in the early 90s would get. Robbie, do you remember Marion Barry?
I don't remember him. I know about him now. Who was a mayor of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, was caught doing crack cocaine, and then ran for re-election and won.
Well, you know, that's Rob Ford did the same thing in Canada, so, you know.
I'm not familiar with that.
No, okay, well, you have to look him up. He's a he was a colorful fella. He recently passed away.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
I was just playing dumb.
Okay, good, because I was going to say, I was like, wow, you're Canadian now. You have to know about these important historical figures.
Well, one, I believe he is in Toronto, which is thousands of miles from me. So I don't, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but still Canada, you know.
Do you know everything? The bad, do you know everything going in down in Phoenix right now, Matt?
I do. They are discriminating against illegal aliens, and they have stop and frisk laws that require you to show your ID.
Matt, that's please, about all there is important now. Stop, please. I get enough of that.
You asked.
I didn't ask for you to tell me. I asked if you knew.
Oh, okay.
I didn't ask for proof. Because you're an honest man. You never lie.
Uh-huh. Nope. Never, ever.
Never.
Anyway, basically, Mr. Burns contracts Fernando Vidal to kill Grandpa. He faxes over a picture of Grandpa who is eating fruit from a can, which I don't know how Burns got that picture. That
Del just Monte.
Seems yeah. Yeah. But Fernando Vidal takes the contract, comes to Springfield, and basically attempts to poison Grandpa by, you know, putting some poison in his false teeth in the little cup he keeps them in at night. But when the alarm goes off, Grandpa wakes up, throws his teeth at the door, and puts the alarm clock in his mouth. I'm sorry, I tried to get through that without laughing, but I just can't because it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, he truly is a Simpson.
Exactly. I think that, if anything, this episode is showing that despite Abe's sometimes heroics, he is still a Simpson.
Yeah. The second attempt is where they pose as the family. So you have Fernando is Homer, Burns is Marge, and Smithers is Bart to get Grandpa to come out. But then Grandpa realizes that his family never comes to visit him, so it must be a trap in which he dives out of the way the last second as an axe is about to take his head off. We don't really see what happens after that, but I'm assuming the assassin party just walks kind of out because then we get the brute force approach to killing somebody.
There is one more way to kill a man, but it is as intricate and precise as a well-played game of chess.
Was that me or was that you?
Okay, we'll do something about that right away. Let's start by doubling your medication. Our residents are trying to nap!
So, as you can see, the Springfield Retirement Castle has everything your family could need, including some pretty great security.
I don't know if that's... I wouldn't really describe that as great security, giving a nurse a shotgun. Like,
Well, it depends on the nurse. I mean, if it's Nurse Ratched, maybe. But if it's your average nurse, probably not. You're right. No comment on that?
I'm trying to just parse all of those things you just said to me, and it's it's tricky. It's a little tricky.
But at this point, Grandpa goes to the family and basically pleads his case. He bangs on the door, screams that someone's trying to kill him. The family, of course, think he's crazy. They put him on the couch and, you know, give him a wet washcloth. And he tells them basically everything that happened, but in a crazy kind of way, of saying that someone tried to kill me when I woke up. You were there and you were there and you were there, which is a reference to, what is it? It's a Wonderful Life. Is that what it was? Or no, that's Wizard of Oz. Sorry.
Which one is it now, Matt?
Where he wakes up and says, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there.
No, I understand. Which film is it referencing?
I'm pretty sure it's Wizard of Oz.
Are you sure?
80%?
Yeah, it's Wizard of Oz, yes.
Okay, I've never actually seen that movie, so, you know.
You've never seen The Wizard of Oz?
I have not, no.
We're off to see the wizard.
I mean, I've heard of it a lot, and I watched the cartoon show on HBO growing up.
Oh, okay. All right. Uh-huh. We're going to start a spin-off podcast that is called The Cultural Education of Matthew Hamm, and it's just going to be week after week showing Matt movies that I would think everyone on Earth have seen, and Matt has not.
That's a very long list. Good luck with that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We could go for years. It doesn't even have to be movies. It could be TV. It could be music.
I barely have enough time to keep up with modern things. I'm watching TV shows from 4 years ago trying to catch up. So, you know. What?
First week is Led Zeppelin 1.
Oh, God. You're not going to be listening to music, are you? Ugh. Kill me now.
I'll write that
anyway.
Down. I'll write that down. My idea pile. I'll write down. Education.
Those are just episodes of the Serial Fanaticist. Going to force me to do things I hate.
I mean, that's how I get enjoyment out of life, Matt.
I know. Back to the Simpsons. The family agrees to let Grandpa stay, but basically only if he is in Bart's room. So poor Bart gets stuck with Grandpa. But in return, Grandpa tells him a long, winding story about why Burns is actually after him. And this is where we actually learn the whole story.
Sorry to crowd you, boy. I'll let you in on a secret. Burns is after me because he wants the Hellfish Bonanza.
Look, if you're going to stay in my room, could you at least stop making up gibberish?
Gibberish, eh? Then what's this?
Wrinkly gibberish?
What, you smart ass? I got this in the Second World War II. Back then, I was known as Sergeant Simpson. And I commanded the Flying Hellfish, the Fightin' Squad in the Fightin' Company in the 3rd Fightin' Battalion of the Army. And we were all from Springfield. There was Police Chief Wiggum's father, Iggy Wiggum.
If anybody finds a grenade without a pin, that's mine.
Our radio man, Sheldon Skinner.
All right, very funny. Well, I didn't join the service to make friends.
And watching our backs was Private 5th Class Arnie Gumbo. Then there was also Griff Asa Oxenetch. But every unit has a troublemaker. Ours was a cocky little private named Montgomery Burns.
So, there, you just heard all of the Hellfish, including Burns, who we'll find out is basically the worst person ever. Not that we're surprised at that at all.
No, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, some people have said that Grandpa and Burns don't act to character in this, and I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, Grandpa is a little more spineful than usual, but Burns is himself to a T.
Burns is definitely just him, but Grandpa is... I feel like we're seeing him as a younger man, which is a totally different thing. I mean, I think this is even, I don't know. Every time we've seen flashbacks of Grandpa as a younger man, he's always a little bit more bold. I mean, look at Homer. Homer can be bold and even heroic at times. Like, I don't.
Bold to the point of foolishness, one would say.
You could say that. I like all the, like, elders, the legacy you see of, like, all the grandparent, you know, theoretically parents of all the current Springfield residents. I like this whole episode. on top of just being a fun, adventurous action kind of story, it also does a really good job. What I really like about the Oakley and Weinstein seasons the most is that not only, you know, we learn about the family, which we've done for six seasons at this point, up until this season and the next one, it also flushes out the whole world. And you see all, you know, you see the legacy of these characters, and you get history about in this relationship between Grandpa and Burns that we didn't know about until now. And you know, it just makes the world feel real. It makes Springfield and the Simpsons universe feel like a real live place.
It does. I mean, that's one of the things I love about this show so much is most TV shows tend to go out of their way to ignore anyone but the main cast. But The Simpsons has such a rich cast of extras and, you know, other people in the town. And this really fleshes them out. I mean, I don't know. Most people don't really consider Grandpa part of the main family, and he's not. But he gets a lot of characterization in just a few episodes, and Burns is the same way. So this episode, despite having Bart along for little parts, it is very interesting to see that much of a character you don't really get to know a lot of before this. So at this point, we also learn that Burns is a private because he obstructed a probe from J. Edgar Hoover, which may or may not be a double entendre.
No, it's definitely a double entendre. I'm fairly certain.
I know it's a double entendre. That was a joke.
What, Matt? Are you saying that you sometimes play dumb?
Yep. Nope. I'm saying I am dumb. So
Matt, I'm gonna put this on the record. You're the smartest person I know.
That can't be right.
I mean,
I'm gonna tell Eric you said that.
I don't think he would disagree in me saying that you're a smart person.
I think he would. I think he.
I'm not
he
saying
sees
you're a good.
Who I am.
I'm not saying you're a good artist. Like,
well, that's for damn sure. Anyone who's seen our drawings can tell you that.
You're not. You're a smart boy. You're a smart boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm a boy. That's true. Anyway, basically, at the end of the war, the Hellfish were cleared out a German manor house and found some very expensive artwork. Burns wanted to steal it. So, and while at first they were a little reluctant, Grandpa really doesn't want to end up in an old folks' home. So he agrees to the tontine.
Of course, we can't sell the paintings now. We'd be caught. How many of you are familiar with the concept of a tontine? All right, Ox, why don't you take us through it?
Essentially, we all enter into a contract whereby the last surviving participant becomes the sole possessor of all them pretty pictures.
Well put, Oxford. Now, remember, you can't all sign with an X.
So, in case you weren't familiar with what a tontine actually is, there you go. Basically, the last living member gets to keep all the money, which, unless something horrible happens, seems to mean that you only get the money when you're really old. Which I guess they were soldiers, so that wasn't a guaranteed thing. But you know, that's the way it worked out for them.
It makes for a dramatic kind of story, and it works really well in the context of this episode.
It's true, I would also like to point out that they reference Commander Flanders. However, Commander is not a rank in the army. So
maybe
once again,
for one, Matt. Maybe they're not actually referring to him by rank. Maybe they're just saying he is our commander, Commander Flanders.
That's possible, I suppose. I mean, in the subtitles, it's capitalized, so it seems like a rank, but I could be wrong.
You can have a title that's not a rank.
Yeah, I guess it's true. But that seems like it'd be out of regulation. And we know the Hellfish do everything by regulation, right? Yeah,
obviously. Like Sergeant Simpson trying to assassinate Hitler with as a sniper. I'm fairly certain that's not how that works either. But
no, probably not.
No, probably not.
But as for the Hellfish, Ox died because he got a hernia carrying the artwork out of the castle, which is obviously sad because apparently he was the only cultured one among them, probably one of the smartest ones, despite his speech or his accent. Five more died in a Veterans Day parade, which is sad, and I want to say ironic, but probably not, because parades are deadly. People die in them all the time. It's totally a fact. But at this point, the story ends, and Bart, of course, he gave up. He doesn't believe Grandpa. He's like, it could have used a vampire or something. And, of course, Grandpa is quite downtrodden at Bart not believing him. But, well, things change.
Don't kill me!
I've tried to meet you halfway on this, Simpson, but you had to be little Johnny Livelot. Now, give me your key to the Hellfish Bonanza.
Oh, wow, there really is a treasure. Whatever you do, don't give him the key, Grandpa.
Here's the key.
Oh, figures. Hey, Mr. Burns, can I go with you to get the treasure? I won't eat much, and I don't know the difference between right and wrong.
Oh, you're a good boy, but the child labor people have been watching me like a hawk. Well, I'm off to get paintings, as they say. Time is Monet's. As you were, Sergeant. Oh, terribly sorry. Back to sleep, little girl.
Santa?
Oh, I guess Burns is finally gonna be rich.
Not without the keys, he isn't.
Yep, so there you go. Bart is amazing and managed to pickpocket the keys. So he's able to convince Abe that they should go after the treasure, that Grandpa is not all washed up. Helmer, of course, has heard the commotion and asked to come along. But when Grandpa lists off the dangers and the craziness involved, Homer quickly passes. He's only in for the easy ones. So once Homer passes, Bart and Grandpa leave the house and we go to a commercial.
I really like that scene with that when he gives up the key. I think that
yeah.
I really like the how quick, like, it really shows when you get that when you get that flashback story he tells where he's like heroic and he like jumps on a mortar round with his helmet and, you know, saves and is trying to assassinate Hitler and doing like all these crazy heroic things, maybe exaggerated, we don't really know, but I know it's a great contrast with what he is today and how, you know, the age and time has kind of withered him. And you know, we see that early moment when he's in the retirement village and castle and he's all, like, going through his mail and it's like the saddest thing in the world. Like, you get that, like, it not only sells Grandpa as like a real character, but it really sells, I don't know, the effect of nostalgia. And why we get a little insight into why Grandpa tells these crazy stories. You know, he wants to go back to when he was younger, you know, and even if, and he wants to feel like that again. And even if it's for just a second.
It's true. Grandpa basically, as we can see here, Grandpa was kind of a badass. And essentially at this point, he's no longer quite the badass until the chips are down. The chips are in. Whatever that phrase is supposed to be, I can't remember. I was going to say a less, podcast-friendly phrase, but yeah. The chips are down. I think that's the one.
The chips are down. That is correct. What happens after that? Did you say we go to commercial, Matt? Did you say that?
I did say that.
Okay, good. When we come back, Abe and Bart go to the graveyard again because that is where the monument is, where the keys go, and they unlock the revelation of where the treasure lies, and there's some like mechanism that it creates a light to shine on where the treasure is, and it ends up being in the middle of the water. Did they say what body of water that is?
No, I'm just assuming it's Lake Springfield.
Okay, it's in the middle of the lake, and so they make their way to the lake and decide to borrow Flanders' boat.
Well, howdy doodly, stranger. Couldn't help but notice you stealing my boat.
I'll bring it back.
You ever operated a powerboat?
No.
Know anything about water safety?
No.
What do you need it for?
It's a secret.
Ooh, sounds spine-tingly-dingling. Just promise you'll have a good time. Maud, boys, coming up. We're going to have a little camp out in the dinghy.
Yay! Yep, just a little camp out in the dinghy.
Flanders and his family, always enthusiastic when people are stealing from them. They make their way out into the lake and then discuss scuba diving safety techniques.
Now, remember the plan, boy. If you run out of air, tug on the rope.
64 times, no more, no less. Got it.
No, 63 times if you're out of air. 64 is if you found the treasure.
Gotcha. Hey, Grandpa. Do you think I could have been a flying hellfish?
You're a gutsy daredevil with a give-em-hell attitude and a fourth-grade education. You could have made Sergeant.
Which is true.
It's true. He could have.
He could have. Yep. Bart, whenever he applies himself to authority, he does very well.
True. Bart thrives in authoritarian regimes.
Yeah, when he is in charge of stuff, he does a good job. When he's all monitor, he does a good job. We see him excel in
The Secret War of Lisa Simpson.
We see him excel in military training. So yeah, I think it bears fruit. Bart would be a great army man.
Indeed, he would.
So Bart goes down, and these sequences, I can't capture them, but they are really visually, they're really stunning. And this whole episode has a lot of really, really like strong direction, like a strong framing and the use of color in the water. You don't see a lot of like underwater scenes in The Simpsons, and so they take this opportunity to really give it a lot of interesting colors and the use of light and stuff like that. Stuff that you probably wouldn't get a chance to see a lot of the time. Bart goes down. We see various sunken things in the water, and he gets the safe. He pulls the rope 64 times to say that he found the treasure, not that he's suffocating. And they get.
Are you sure?
Well, Grandpa's not sure at first, but then he's patient, and the 64th rope pull does come. They get the artwork, only to have Burns show up ominously in another spectacular reveal where the light.
Oh, man, it was so great.
The light from the light goes out, and then Burns pops a flare, and he, like, is red, and, of course, the evil. Like, it's so good. And he has a gun, so he takes the paintings by force, then kicks Bart into the safe, which then immediately starts sinking. Grandpa puts on the diving gear and dives immediately after Bart.
Which is impressive. Because, wow.
Yeah, I mean, heroism has been awoken in Abe. He dives, swims down, grabs the safe, rescues Bart. Bart is a little hesitant to take the rebreather from him. I do love just the little touches of the rebreather, like the slimy stuff that's in Grandpa's mouth. It's just like see it like slowly like snake off of the ventilator from the air tank, and
it's probably pretty gross.
It's either that or death, and I think Bart decides death would be worse. So they go up and they decide that they're not going to take this. They chase after Burns. I guess Flanders' boat is pretty fast because they start catching up with Burns. Smithers jumps off because he's weighing down the boat. But Abe shoots. I can't capture any of this because it's all visual. But Abe shoots Burns' boat, water skis behind the boat, and then eventually catches on. They crash on the beach, and Abe has caught up with Burns and is standing over him ominously.
Don't kill me.
I ain't gonna kill you. That'd be cowardly. Monty Burns cowardly. I just wanna watch you squirm.
Yes, sir. Is this to your liking? No.
Now, Burnsy, there's one thing we don't stand for in the Hellfish, and that's trying to kill your commanding officer. So consider this your dishonorable discharge. You're out of my unit, you're out of the tontine, and that means the paintings are mine. Private, you are dismissed.
Is this to your liking? It's pretty good. You get to see Grandpa as a certifiable, awesome, like, action hero.
As someone you could believe was ex-military.
Yeah, exactly. So Abe and Bart are triumphant. They have the paintings, and that's it. They go off into the sunset, right, Matt?
Yes, that's how that happens. It sure does.
Except the U.S. State Department shows up, confiscates the art, takes it back and gives it to the descendant of the person they stole it from, who is a Eurotrash stereotype, listening to sounding bad techno music. Baron von Bertzenberger. It's a good name. I do like that name.
Mm-hmm.
He's a kind of a jerk, but I think I agree with the State Department's decision that if you should return the artwork, it is not proper to profit from war.
You probably should.
If the descendant was a nice guy, you wouldn't care.
It's true, but he's a jerk, so that makes it like even worse.
War profiteering is a bad thing. You shouldn't steal from people during war, especially if you're theoretically the good guys. Abe has lost the paintings, but he does get respect from Bart.
At least I got to show you I wasn't always a pathetic old kook.
You never were, Grandpa.
Oh, I'd hug you, but I know you'd just get embarrassed.
I won't get embarrassed. I don't care who knows I love my grandpa.
Hey, fun boys, get the room.
Gotta love that music.
It's interesting. But that's the end of the episode with Abe and Bart kind of a Pyrrhic victory. You know, they win, but they don't win. Burns is humiliated, embarrassed, and out of the Flying Hellfish. And I don't know. Very deservedly so. I don't know. This is definitely not a typical Simpsons episode.
Nope.
But I really
like it.
It
really isn't, but it's still a really... Yes, it's a great one.
It's really... It's so much fun and exciting and adventurous, and they really nail all their beats they're going for. Like, there is still a lot of humor in this, but it really nails... You know, they're trying to be dramatic and action-packed, and they really, I think that's one of the best things about The Simpsons is, yeah, oftentimes they are parodying or referencing other films when they're doing things like this, but it never feels like a pale imitation. It always feels like they go above and beyond in not just imitating the feelings of certain genre or certain film, but often... like embodying it so thoroughly that you can't really tell. Like, it has this, you get the same feeling. Like, I could watch this or I could watch Indiana Jones. I feel the same way. It doesn't like create a,
it really
separation.
Gets your pulse pounding.
Yeah. It's really tremendous.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's, there aren't a lot of Simpsons episodes that involve a lot of action, to be honest. And I kind of lament that because I feel like they surprisingly do action very well. Basically, anytime The Simpsons have set it up so that, oh, you know, something exciting is going to happen. We're going to have great music in the background. It's going to be very visually interesting. Whenever there's a big action scene in The Simpsons, like, say, the chase scene in Great Louse Detective or Radioactive Man in the scene in the power plant, whenever like that's happening, it's good enough that it makes me stop and actually watch what I'm mostly listening to the episode, because those kind of scenes are so well done by the animators and the music and the voice talent. It's surprising and really interesting.
But where does it rank? We'll find out at the end of the show. Couple submissions for my favorite episode. The first is very short and sweet, from a person who did not give their name. My favorite episode is Raging Ape Simpson and His Grumbling Grandson, mostly because I tend to ramble and no one believes me, plus Turlet.
Turlet.
And then, secondly, from Josh. Hi, Robbie. Hi, Matt. I've been thinking for a long time about my favorite episode of Simpsons and finally came to the conclusion that it's Raging Abe Simpson and His Grumbling Grandson in Curse of the Flying Hellfish. It's got everything a great adventure requires. Mystery, assassins, World War II flashbacks, action, and a despicable villain to boot. We also get a better look at Abe's past, turning him from a crazy old coot who holds up grocery store lines with stories of nickels into a wrinklier version of Indiana Jones. He also gives one of the best verbal lashings in Simpsons history in the form of Mr. Burns' dishonorable discharge, complete with voluntary squirming. Speaking of Mr. Burns, he's on his villain A game this episode, cheating his way out of the Tontine, forcing Smithers out of a speeding boat to jettison ballast, and probably his most despicable act in the whole of The Simpsons, kicking Bart into a safe into his watery grave in front of Abe after he steals the paintings from them. Bart also gets some great moments, learning the awesome history of his soldier/hero grandpa, and gets a cool dynamic duo between the two of them. This whole story feels like a lost episode of The Young Adventures of Indiana Jones, with cinematic shots, heart-stopping suspense, great humor, and overall heart. All that in mind, it definitely deserves my number one spot of best episode ever. Thank you for those submissions.
That was incredibly succinct and well put.
Well, our listeners are only the smartest and brightest and best people in the entire world.
That is accurate.
It is
they really are the best people ever.
They are. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group. So I'll comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what people were talking about a week or two after an episode debuted. And see what they thought about the episode at the time. Mostly average thoughts. The reviews were mostly average. There's a couple like, yeah, I really liked it, and a couple, man, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. But most people were like, it's fine. Well, I think the
I can't understand those people who are like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Because, well, come on, guys.
I think of all the critiques, most of them revolved around, this isn't a Simpsons episode.
Okay, well, yeah, but, you know, shows can grow, you know.
They can be different things. Yeah, I know. And the Simpsons certainly, before this, have shown many times they do weird episodes that are outside of their the normal sitcom-y purview. I mean, that's kind of why the show's so great, in that it is not afraid to take an entire episode and be weird or do something totally different from what you would expect. That's why it's good. But they don't. But they don't have the benefit of time. You know, it was the week
that's
after.
True, they don't.
They, you know, I can't blame them too much. You know, they're on the internet. They had to give a.
Well,
they had to
can.
Do. They had to do snap judgment. You know, I need to tell everyone on Earth, everyone on this news group, exactly how I feel. There's also, I wasn't aware of this. I mean, you know, there you can be pretty familiar with The Simpsons and advertisement. You know, Butterfingers. Mm-hmm. You think of Butterfingers, obviously. They did a Church's Chicken ad.
What? Really?
They did. I watched it. It's on YouTube. I'll probably put it up on our social media this week sometime. I don't know. I didn't really know about Church's Chicken until I was, like, older, until I was, like, an adult. I didn't realize Church's Chicken was a thing. There was an ad with The Simpsons. I don't know. They're international. Like, they're throughout the U.S. and the entire world. So, I don't know. I can That's still hear you typing, one. Matt. I also pulled the alt.tv.simpsons stats for that month of April 1996, because someone posted all of them, and I thought it was really interesting. About 5,700 articles were posted on the news group. 600 posters of those 5,700 articles. 62% were one-time posters, and then 433 of those people were posted between 2 and 4 times. I think the highest number of articles was 261 on a single day. The lowest was 102. And the top threads, there's a lot of ties, but the top threads, let's see, we're all tied. You Can't Handle the Truth. What's That Kid's Name? What Did the Hippie Say? Springfield is in Arizona? Sex in Springfield? Who Does, Doesn't, Has, Hasn't? Update. Need More Hans Mullmen. Name of Motion Sickness Kid? Meow. Was Looking for Electric Company. Maggie is Pathetic. List of Things That Homer Likes and Keeps Saying It. Heather's Bizarre Obsession with Otto. Best Ralph Wiggum Line. Best Ralph Line. Anagram Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. And finally, 414 episode. Wow, that was great.
Wow, that, season 4, episode 14?
No,
what was that?
414 was 22 short films.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's interesting.
There's also, other topics. Ned's Green Sweater. Is Milhouse a Nerd? Is Springfield Gay? Beards on the Simpsons.
Is Milhouse a Nerd?
Is Milhouse Catholic? Is Bart a Girl?
Oh, yes, definitely, obviously.
I mean, God is Dead. Nietzsche. Was Reply Matt Groening is Dead. Lots of weird things that I pop up on the news group that most of them are. A lot of them are only partially there because I don't think the archive works on all the comments, and it formats things very strangely. But I thought it was just an interesting scope of everything on that weird old internet board. We can move on, Matt. Our next segment is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week. This week is what is your favorite film reference or parody? Tons and tons of great answers, like always. Really appreciate everyone who responds. First from Sean, picking Homer at the press conference in Deep Space Homer. The only danger is if they send us a terrible Planet of the Apes. Wait a minute. Statue of Liberty. That was our planet. You maniacs, you blew it up. Damn you. Damn you all to hell. Peter, his answer, hands down, Phil Silver's character Otto Meyer in the film It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. What's the name of that episode, Matt? Oh, I can't think of it. The cat burglar. Why can't think of the name of that
episode? Oh, the vigilante group. Oh, God. Brain.
Homer the vigilante.
That's what, thank you.
That whole episode does a really tremendous job with Mad, 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 Mad World. What's the matter with you, kid? You told me the stream was shallow. Why, you? Oh, you? Oh, kid. I'll get even. Yeah, they do a really. There's even more than that, but they do a tremendous job in that episode. John from the episode Rosebud. Wait, you forgot your bear, a symbol of your lost youth and innocence. Oh, well. At least we still have his little brother, George. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, the sunshine. I can't do a really good George Burns, but I can. You guys know what it is. It's better than me. Joe, when I first heard that Marge was joining the police academy, I thought it would be fun and zany, like that movie Spaceballs. But instead, it was dark and disturbing, like that movie Police Academy. That's really good.
And, oh, my God.
Tim's answer, the Raiders of the Lost Ark spoof. Homer's change, do not touch. With Bart, they did a pitch-perfect Indiana Jones shot for shot, right, with Bart running away from tumbling Homer. It's great. Jeremy, the cupcakes. When I first saw it, I hadn't seen A Clockwork Orange. Now it's amazing they stuck it in. David's answer, oh, my God, I was wrong. It was Earth all along. You finally made a monkey out of me. Izzy, you got the shinning. You mean shining. Quiet, you want to get sued. That's good. See my vest. Homer hitting the home run a la The Natural and Homer the Bat is great, too. For an entire episode, Sherry Bobbins is awesome. Alex at K Whatever Man, no TV and no beer make Homer's something, something.
Something, something. Good old something, something.
Don't mind if I do. Ian at Ian Davis 1, Homer protecting his sugar mound. First you get the sugar, then you get the power, then you get the women. Ava at Ava Square Eyes, easily the graduate and Lisa substitute, simultaneously hilarious and heartbreaking at the same time, pure genius. Alex at Alex BZ711, Mole Man being attacked by birds. Hello, I need the biggest seed bell you have. No, that's too big. Dan at Smokin' Dan, newer one, but a parody of my favorite film, The Departed. The rat symbolizes obviousness.
That was pretty good, yeah, actually.
That was pretty good. Chris, the obvious greatest movie references are Cape Fear and The Music Man, but the one that I use regularly and makes me chuckle every time is the Scarface reference. In America, first you get the sugar, then you get the power, then you get the women. From Garrett, maybe a bit subtle to some, but I always enjoy the reference to Kurosawa's Rashomon in the season 10 episode 30 Minutes Over Tokyo. Homer's none too excited about a family vacation to Japan, and Marge tries to persuade him. Come on, Homer, Japan will be fun. You liked Rashomon. That's not how I remember it. Not one of my favorite episodes, but as a lover of cinema, I've always appreciated this joke. From Justin, has to be the Quentin Tarantino directed episode of Itchy and Scratchy. And finally from John, Sideshow Bob being prisoner number 24601, the entire score of the HMS Pinafore, and just Cape Fear. Matt, what is your answer?
Surprisingly, no one picked mine. I'm going to have to go with Marge on the Lamb. The extended Thelma and Louise parody I thought was great. It was, and I really enjoy episodes where Marge gets to, you know, be out and doing stuff. And Ruth Powers made a great foil for her. Between that episode, all in all, is really good. But having Homer react to it is just hilarious. And the ending is great.
Yeah, I'm Sherry Bobbins, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Like as a whole, like it's, I think it is a pitch perfect parody of, Disney musicals. She's an original creation, like Ricky Rouse, Monal Muck. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, it's like you could,
yeah, it's really hard to pick.
I mean, we are currently doing a series on our Patreon about film comparisons. We've done Citizen Kane and, Cape Fear itself.
And more is a coming.
Next week's question. What's your favorite flashback scene? Think about it. Do your homework, Matt.
That's going to be a tough one.
It is. There's a lot of them, though. Simpsons do a lot of flashbacks. I'll post this question all over social media. Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Like, follow, subscribe, etc. You know, social media words. I do try and post stuff when I find it. Things that are interesting. Things that I haven't seen before. If I'm surprised by something, I probably will try and post it. Matt? It's time, once again, for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, and one hard. And try and stump the other. This season we have a wager for whoever loses must attempt to eat in one sitting 64 slices of American cheese. Will be delicious, I'm sure, for Matt.
Yeah, for me, sure.
Before we get started, Matt, I'm going to come clean. Okay, I'm telling you this, all right? I didn't have to tell you this, but I'm telling you this. Someone pointed out in the comments that the hard question last week, I was not entirely correct.
Oh, whoa.
Because I said Chip was her ventriloquist dummy, and I think it's the Chip is the name. Chip is the punchline in the joke. Twiggy.
Oh, yes. It's actually Woody.
Woody is the name. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. I even have the answer right here. It says Woody, and I just let you go with it. What is wrong with me?
I don't know, man. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's a crying shame that this Google Doc is uneditable, and I can't change the point values on things I've already put in. You know, it's one and done. Mm-hmm. It's really unfortunate.
Sure.
Don't I get anything because I came out and told you the truth? And you, I mean,
I think that counts as 2 points out of three.
Okay, I subtracted 1 point from my total.
Okay.
You ready for an easy question?
Yes, sir.
Matt, stop typing. Dear Lord, stop typing.
Hey, I'm trying to make notes here.
Your easy question.
All right, go ahead.
In Exit Through the Quickie Mart, Bart creates graffiti about Homer that references Shepard Fairey's famous poster of Barack Obama. What does Bart's graffiti say?
Is this a newer episode? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
These are all from season 23.
Season 23. Oh, my God. That's forever ago.
Shepard Fairey, a famous street artist, guest starred along with several other street artists on that episode. Okay, this is an easy question. I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Shepard Fairey's famous poster of Barack Obama?
Nope. No idea.
It's funny you say the word nope, because the Hope poster is Shepard Fairey.
Hope?
I can't help you, Matt. If you don't know the Barack Obama Hope poster, I don't know what to tell you.
No, sorry. I know what you're talking about now, the Hope thing. I have no idea.
It's a graffiti about Homer.
Uh-huh.
What would Bart's graffiti say? I could literally not give you any more hints without telling you the answer.
Dope.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's dope.
I just went through the alphabet.
How could... Oh, you've seen all the episodes, Matt.
I have, but man, this has been a long time.
Okay, give me my easy question.
All right, your easy question. I've been attempting to go through the earlier episodes to give you a fighting chance. What organization does Homer join in the Cartridge family?
The National Rifle Association.
That is correct.
Can't wait for all the comments on that one.
Mm-hmm.
No one's sensitive about gun rights. In your medium question... In Them Robot, who guests as the voices of all the robots?
Who would be a famous robot? Oh, you know, it'd be really funny. Is it Brent Spiner?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah. I was like, it's got to be a famous robot. Who's the most famous robot on TV? I know. Data.
You pronounced it Data. Right. Why did you pronounce it that way? One of them is my name,
right.
And one of them is not. What's my medium question, man?
Your medium question. How much is the security system that Homer turns down in the Cartridge family?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's a guess. $800.
Final answer?
Sure.
I'm sorry. It's $500. Homer, apparently you can't. You can put a price on your family's safety, and it's less than $500.
Okay, good. Your final question, Matt?
Oh, Lord.
In How I Wet Your Mother, Homer wears what brand of adult diapers?
What brand of adult diapers? Oops.
That's incorrect.
Aw.
It is Confidence Man adult diapers.
I really got to watch the later seasons some more. Just don't have the memorization.
You watch them once. It's not the same as watching them a dozen times.
Exactly. That's what I should be doing instead of, you know,
yeah,
expanding my mind.
Living your life. What is my hard question?
All right. Your hard question. In the Cartridge family, why can't Marge and the kids stay with Patty and Selma?
They can't stay with Patty and Selma because, I mean, I even watched this not too long ago when I can't even remember. It's MacGyver night.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. They actually have a gentleman caller who turns out to be a TV repairman.
Oh, right.
And their TV is not broken, they just unplugged it.
Right. They've cornered that poor gentleman.
Poor fella.
I was getting somewhere. No, I'm not. I only got 3 episodes to go. I don't want to eat all that cheese, Matt.
Well, sorry.
No, you're not. You're not sorry.
You're the one who came up with this particular wager. I argued against it.
Yeah, but you did not offer a replacement.
No, that's true.
If you're gonna, you know, poo my ideas, I want a replacement. You know.
All right, I'll start thinking now for next season.
You should be. You absolutely should be. Let me see. All right. I have some bonus questions for you, Matt.
All right.
These are from John Winchester. These are all from Margin Chains.
Ooh, good one.
What is the name of the TV teleshopping show hosted by Troy McClure at the start of the episode?
I have no idea.
I can't believe they invented it.
Oh, that's right.
Who is the creator of the Juice Loosener?
Dr. Nick Riviera.
That is correct. He informs viewers if they buy now, they will also receive what product?
Sun and Run, the suntan that's also a laxative.
That is correct. I don't know how you pulled, I don't know how you pulled that one. Which Springfield residents receive a new Juice Loosener?
A lot of them.
Who do we see?
Pretty sure that actually get it. Flanders, Patty and Selma, Homer, obviously, Skinner. That's all I can remember.
They do not have Flanders listed.
Oh, okay.
But they do have those other three. Or Patty and Selma count as a duo, I suppose. What is the name of the flu that infects most of Springfield?
The Osaka flu.
What is the name of the itchy and scratchy episode Bart watches when he stays home from school?
I have no idea.
The Osaka flu. Punny names. Germs of endearment.
Of course.
Who does Homer say he is when found in Mr. Burns' germ-free chamber?
He says he's Mr. Burns.
That's correct. When searching for a placebo, some Springfield residents overturn a van. What are in the boxes instead?
Bees.
Killer bees, to be
precise. Killer bees,
to be precise. What is the network slogan for Fox, according to Ned?
Watch Fox and be damned for all eternity.
That's correct. How much is aspirin at the Quickie Mart?
$29.95. Oh, man.
What does Chief Wiggum ask Marge to bring out from the Quickie Mart?
Two cups of coffee, something with coconut on it, and an air freshener that says... I have no idea what the last one is.
One, it's her hands up, then two cups of coffee, and finally an auto freshener that says Capricorn something with coconut on it.
Capricorn, yeah.
Okay. Which two men are the jury asked to say who's the more attractive at the start of the trial?
Tom Cruise or Mel Gibson?
That is correct. What does Lionel Hutz's tie look like when he questions Apu?
It's a red and white striped tie in a half Windsor knot.
That is correct. After Marge's sentence, what is the next case?
Lionel Hutz versus the Council of Religions or something?
National Council of Churches.
Churches.
When Snake steals the Quickie Mart, When Snake steals the Quickie Mart, passes a road sign which informs motorists how far away you are from certain places. What three places are on the sign?
I have no idea.
Shelbyville, North Haverbrook, and Mexico City. What does Homer make Bart for lunch?
Tom Collins mix cloves and a frozen pie crust.
No, that's what he eats for dinner one night. He gives Bart for lunch. He gets a pack of sugar and peanut butter on a playing card.
Yeah.
What does Marge usually make in the bake sale?
Lemon squares.
Marshmallow squares.
Marshmallow squares. Dang it.
I was expecting you to get that one, Matt. You let me down.
I know.
Finally, your last question: how has Chief Wiggum made the police dogs mad?
Starving them, teasing them, singing off key.
That is correct. That is correct. You get no bonus points for getting those questions.
No, nerds.
I'm very sorry. You're already up ahead. You're ahead of me by 8 points with 3 episodes to go. Oh, I'm just gonna
You're doomed.
Just gonna have to eat a lot of cheese.
Shucks, not cheese.
I'm just gonna knock it out. I'm just gonna set up a camera and just eat quick as possible. I'm gonna get it. I can do it in one sitting.
I think you can too. I believe in you.
You have to eat fast. I think that's the hardest thing is you're gonna have to unwrap every slice. Like maybe
that's the worst.
I'm gonna pre-unwrap them so I can just eat them.
That makes sense.
Then I'll get nice lukewarm cheese. I'm sure that'll be really tasty. That is it for that segment. If you have a trivia question or a theme, you can send them in. We have a theme in the queue. We'll get to it next week. We can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. You called this a great episode earlier, Matt. You even said it was the best. You said it was the best episode.
I was being hyperbolic.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. I do that sometimes. It is a good episode, though.
No, it's very good. I hesitate to call it a great episode.
No, I agree with you. It's very good. But when it comes to The Simpsons, it requires something very special to be a great episode.
I would say a great Simpsons episode.
Right.
Because I think most of The Simpsons is great. Even the worst of it is still much better than a lot of other, you know, television.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, amongst themselves, you know, you have to, you know, we are experts at splitting hairs. I would say the lowest. Okay, is this better than our last episode?
I would have to say probably not to me, but it's still really good.
I think it's better than Two Bad Neighbors.
Two Bad Neighbors. Where is Two Bad Neighbors?
Directly beneath our last episode. Directly between 22, beneath 22 short films.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Definitely better than Two Bad Neighbors. I don't know. 22 short films about Springfield is really good, but this episode does focus on, you know, closer to the cast, and it's got more, you know, emotional content in it. I don't know.
It's
so hard.
It's not as funny as it's not a funny episode. It has laughs in it, but it is not a, like, laugh out loud episode. It is an adventure action story episode.
Yeah. It's more well-rounded of
it
an
is,
episode.
It is. I think it is. It is. It's more cohesive, for sure. I mean, the thing about 22 short films is that it is purposely not cohesive. It is about many, many disparate things. I think it is prettier. I think it has.
That is true.
It has wonderful animation, and it is shot really well and directed really well. I don't know. I like the implications about Grandpa. I like the World War II callbacks. I like the Burns in this. I would probably, if I was ranking it, I would probably put it at number 11.
Number 11. Whew. Puts it above Marge Be Not Proud and Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Tell you what. I can see it skating by 22 short films, Bart the Fink, maybe A Fish Called Selma, but I don't know if I can go all the way to number 11.
Well, what, give me a number.
I would say probably 13. Right really needs Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield. Got to keep those episodes with really long names together.
You just don't want to put it above a Marge episode.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. I really like that episode. It's both funny and it's almost sitcom-y in a way, which is not always a bad thing. It's definitely got a very good character arc for Marge, and the rest of the family serves as essentially her foils. But this episode is really good. But I would say since Scenes from the Class Struggle and Marge Be Not Proud, both of those are all about the core family. I think it edges them out just a hair.
All right, I can take that. I can deal with you being wrong. It's fine. You can.
Mm-hmm.
It's number 13. Is that correct, Matt?
I believe so.
Okay. So, Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson in. Okay, I need to set up base camp. Then I can finish typing in the curse. I can't type the curse
of the flying
Hellfish. Dear Lord, that's a very long title. By far the longest title so far. Even more than Through Cars in Every Garage and Three Highs on Every Fish.
Special that way.
Yeah. So that's number 13 on our list. Number one is still Cape Fear. Lastly, right now, is Homer's Odyssey, 141.
Shocking.
It will be replaced at some later date. I'm fairly positive about that. You can find this list at our website, simplythesimpsonshow.com. Links to everything, to our RSS feed, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our Patreon. If you want to help out the show, give us a couple bucks. Keep us going. We'd love that. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see here. Our next episode, got to scroll back from season 23, just trying to remember those episodes. Let's see, seasons, are we in still season 7? Much Apu About Nothing! The classic with Herb and Judy and Hasipima Petalon.
I don't think we actually meet Herb and Judy.
Aw, really? Nerds. It's been a while.
Not really. Oh no. Okay. The episode about illegal immigrants. I'm sure no one will have thoughts about that.
It's oddly timely.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to it. Talk about that next week. let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCheryl. That's MixmasterCheryl. Please check out my other podcasts, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It's comic books. And The Serial Fanaticist. It's about lots of things.
Being a fanatic.
Yeah, being a fanatic, being a fan. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're certain love of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. I have decided that I will be marching across the country to protest the real scourge in our society, Family Guy. So get your protest placards and let's go.
Where are you going to?
Oh, you know, just around the circle by my house.
That's
important
not,
places, you
that's,
know.
That's not across the country, Matt. I hate to break that too.
Well, it's further to the rest of the country than I am right now.
I think if you're going to say I'm going cross country, you have to go further than what you do when you chase your dog down the street. Like, I think that's fair.
Well, all right. We'll go to the end of the street.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe,
you have to
maybe
go
even
past,
the next neighborhood.
You have to go past the end of your street.
All right, fine. The next neighborhood over then.
I think with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching those episodes.